We're in a season of great outpouring of the Spirit. The day spring from on high is visiting us through the tender mercies of our God. Draw near with an open heart to receive the blessings of our God through His servant, Pastor Dimeji Elubadebo. Be revived.
Glory to God. So let's see the first epistle of John. The first epistle of John. The Lord has brought us back there because He is not true with us. Can we say amen? The Lord is not true with us. First epistle of John, chapter 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, and have handled, and have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. So, like what our hands have handled of the word of life. So the handling there is the professing of life. The handling there is the professing of life. And it, John was referring to the revelation of the life from the beginning. Can we say amen? That which was from the beginning. So John was referring to everlasting life, which is the dominion of the Father and His Son, or the dominion, the everlasting dominion of God. Now, eternal life is twin. Eternal life is, there is eternal life manifested in creation. And there is eternal life existed in the Godhead before time began. So they are different. What I mean they are different is one person, but diverse manifestation. So everlasting life as is the flowing of eternal life into creation or into the dimension of creation or into time. So once eternal life flows into time, it becomes eternal life in creation. So we have eternal life before creation. Then eternal life that created. Let me differentiate both. We have eternal life before creation, which is the original life in the Godhead before time began. Can we say amen? Amen. Nobody's saying amen with me? Amen. Now, God has a fellowship of life in Him before creation. So it's not creation that defines God. It is God's life that defines Him. The Lord brought forth creation as a means of extending the revelation of His life to man. Okay, let's see John 1. Can we say amen? I just feel I should go back here again. Amen. Hallelujah. So in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So this is the eternal class or the eternal Godhead that is made up of three beings. Eternal God, eternal Word, eternal Spirit. Eternal God, eternal Word, eternal Spirit. What you call the Godhead in their raw eternal state or eternal form. Okay? So in the beginning was the Word. John used was trying to describe the eternal past of the Word. So in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So the Word is the same with God, meaning eternal Logos is the same thing with eternal God or eternal Father. We can put him as Father because we are trying to now identify them as persons. So what makes them the same is that they share the same quality of life. So that would say was with. When you say with, it means they are in the same category. They are in the same class. So the Word is not inferior to the Father in eternal life. Can we say amen? Or in the eternal Godhead. What you call the Godhead. I like the word the Godhead. There's a place like that in Scripture. Romans 1, 20. Eternal power and Godhead. So there's something called Godhead. Godhead. So this Godhead has three beings in their raw eternal state, which is the origin of all life. What did I say it is? I can't hear you say that. So, yes. So, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. Can we say amen? So, this is the beginning before creation. So, there is, God is a God of many beginnings. You cannot even count the beginnings in him. There are beginnings in their different seasons. By their nature, they are beginning beings. What did I say they are? The word beginning in Scripture is the word arche. It means origin. So they are origin beings, meaning by nature, they originate life. Someone says, so what is the origin of God? Have you ever seen people ask this kind of question? That's why he's God. Can we say amen? Amen? There are things concerning God that is abstracted from man in terms of understanding. It means if he does not let you know, you can't know. And that's why you are man. That's why you are created and he's uncreated. Oh, you didn't hear what I said? What did I say? So as long as you are created, you are limited. You are limited in sight. You can't know everything. Except they teach you. It's what they open to you. So there are some questions that cannot be answered because they are not light available to creation except God upgrades you. So, but a lot of, I believe that there are things that we will know. There are things that man will know, not all men. Men that partake of eternal life. When they come into eternal life, there are certain sights they will just know. There are things that that life will administer to them concerning in understanding. Can we say amen? I can't hear you say amen. Just think about a goat trying to understand certain things. A goat trying to understand how man goes to space. Is far beyond him. He can't comprehend it. So imagine in a goat where you say, oh, so all this man, he's all ujejari. He cannot comprehend that dimension of the activity of man's life. But that does not mean it does not exist. So there are things that exist that are not yet made known to man. And they are very real in God. Can we all say amen? Amen? I'm not hearing you say amen. Amen. So verse 1 and 2 is describing the quality of life in the Godhead. It's the quality of life in the Godhead. So the same was in the beginning with God. Now look at verse 2. So, all things were made by him. Now, when you see the activity of creation in place, it means God has moved from Eternal life before creation to eternal life in creation. So that is what you call manifestation of life. What did I say you call it? All things were made by him. So before even God began creation, God made appeared in time. Well, creation, anything creation, because, you know, time is an, time, space, and matter, they are expressions of creation. So God will have entered into those, into time to even begin creation. Can we say amen? Let's say, the Bible says in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Before God made the heavens, God will have existed in a domain. Can we say amen? So once a space has existed, time has begun. Once space exists, time began. So even before God brought forth the heavens and the earth, there was time. In the sense of he had come into the realm of creation. I don't know if I'm making any sense. Hallelujah. I can't hear you say amen. So as long as there is matter, there is time. And there is also space. So time, space, and matter existed before the heavens. They are earlier than the heavens. It's how God introduced himself to creation. Can we say amen? God manifested into the domain called everlasting. When you say everlasting, it means creation. What did I say everlasting is? Yes. So that's why you see that creation is always tied to the everlasting God. It's because of God wanting to make himself known to man that he brought forth the domain called everlasting. So everlasting domain is the dominion of God in creation or in time. So, but I also called it, it's also eternal life. It is just a condescension. It's the same God that reduced himself into a dominion that he can be found. If God does not do that, nobody can meet God forever. God exists in a zone that man does not know of, man can never know of, man can never find by himself. Meanwhile, that zone that God existing originally is what he wants to give man out of love. So, but he cannot give man that dominion until he creates a sphere where he can meet man. So everlasting is the dominion of where an eternal God meets man. The everlasting sphere or the everlasting plane, if there's any word like that, the everlasting plane is the dominion where the eternal God will meet man. So if the eternal God will meet man in the everlasting plane, it means he will condescend to an everlasting God, which is called the Creator. So, but the eternal God is not, it does not create in the sense of create. The life that he has did not create what we know as the heavens and the earth. That life is higher than creation. What did I say that life is? So, thank you. I think we are just trying to look through scripture just to support the thought. As thou not known, as thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth. It's not just the Creator of the ends of the earth. It's the Creator of the heavens and the earth. So it was this everlasting God that created the heavens and the earth. In Genesis chapter 1, in the beginning, God created. So when you see creation attached to God, that's an everlasting Father. Can we see that? Can we say amen? In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Verse 2. And the earth was what? Without form and what? Void. And darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the water. So God brought forth creation for the purpose of revealing himself to man. So that revelation or the manifestation of eternal life. So eternal life before creation manifests in the dominion of men as eternal life in creation, which we call everlasting life. Is that clear?
Yes, sir.
Can we all say amen?
Amen?
So all things were made by him, huh? And without him was not what? Anything made by him. So what it means is like, before God began creation, everything that was made, the prototype existed in everlasting logos. So all of the beings in the Godhead, if they have their eternal form, it means that they have the everlasting form. So it was not just the old Godhead were the ones that descended into everlasting or the everlasting plane for the purpose of creation. The three of them were involved when creation was going on. Remember in Genesis chapter 1 verse 26, it says, "Let us create man." So there was an us. And it was not the angels. Can we say amen?
Amen.
God cannot create angels. And when he wants to make man, now say, "Let us," with the angels. Sure, you understand? So it was the everlasting beings. Now they're everlasting. They're eternal, but now they have come into an everlasting plane. They are now in their everlasting form. What did I say they are in? So we have everlasting logos. Now, everlasting logos is the antitype for all life or for all creation. Amen. Everlasting logos is the prototype. That's a better word. Everlasting logos is the prototype for all creation. So every form of life, both in heaven and the earth, derives its prototype from the everlasting world. So the everlasting Father used the everlasting logos for creation. So it was as if the everlasting logos is the as the prototype of how creation will look at every form. Can we say amen? The wisdom for created life is in him. That's what it means. All things were made because now scripture is referring to everlasting logos. In this John 1, can we say amen? Are we interested in what I'm teaching? So scripture is referring to everlasting logos. So in him, all things were made by him. And without him was not anything made that was made. So look at that. Is that not powerful? So there's nothing that was made. There was nothing that was made without everlasting logos. Can we say amen?
Amen.
There was nothing that was made without everlasting logos. So all things in heaven and earth have the original prototype in everlasting logos. All angels. So there is no angel in the present creation that did not derive their origin from everlasting logos. There is no creation in the earth of man, both animals, the planetary bodies, that did not derive their origin from everlasting logos. All things. Everybody say all things.
All things.
All things were made by him. All things means all things. It means all things created. I'm not talking about what man made. God did not make car. Amen. So I'm not talking about all that. It's man that made car. Hallelujah. Car is the invention of man. So, but what I mean all things, he's talking about all things in heaven and on earth. Colossians 1, verse 16. All things in heaven and on earth. What did I say it is? You are not answering me, oh. I can't hear you. One more time. For by him all things, by him were all things created, referring to everlasting word. Because he was not son then, he was word. For by him were all things made. So look at it again. If it's by him, it means that it was in him that the wisdom for creation was sourced from. For by him all things were created. Things in heaven. So things in heaven is everything in the present heaven. And things in the earth. Visible and what? Invisible. So there are visible things on earth. There are invisible things in heaven. There are even invisible things in the dominion of earth. Invisible for man. Currently, there are certain things that of the earth plane that you cannot see. You know that stars are earthly. Yes. And they are stars that you cannot see physically, or the technology of man has not been able to journey to that point. Stars are still within the galaxies of man. Okay? So they are still within the jurisdiction of earth. Can we say amen? I can't hear you say amen.
Amen.
And there are life forms on earth that you cannot see with your eyes. You need microscope to see it. But they exist. All those things existed. Eh? So there are different kinds of existence and forms of life. Believe me, the beauty of creation, the beauty of this present heaven and earth, every of those things were sourced from each everlasting logos. So that's why I said, by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and what? Invisible. Whether there be what? So these are now angels. Whether there be thrones or what? Or what? Or what? All things were what? And what? So they were not just created by him. They were created what? So, for his purpose. When they say for him, it means for his purpose. So, creation was for the purpose. Remember that it was eternal, everlasting logos that was made flesh. So, it was the sent one of the Godhead to bring the purpose of God, the Godhead, or the message of the Godhead to creation. Or to man. Can we say amen? I can hear you say amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So let's go back to John. Are you seeing the wisdom here? So look at verse 4. So in him was life and what? So what life is this life? What life is this life? So now it says in him was life, or it is what I call eternal life in creation. I am using that deliberately because at times when you are reading the first epistle of John, you will see eternal life rendered there. But he's talking about everlasting life. He's talking about eternal life manifested to man. Can we say amen? I can't hear you say amen.
Amen.
So in him was life. Can we all say that?
In him was life.
Let's say that one more time.
In him.
So what is the world made up for? What is the world made up of? So the world is a container of life. And what it contains, the molecules of his person is life. So in him was life, and the life was the light of man. Can we all say that?
Life was the light of man.
So what was in Logos was supposed to light men up. So these lights, so When you say amen, can we say amen?
Amen.
So darkness is not blackness. Darkness is ignorance of life. Because there, in this point, we are not talking exactly of darkness in the sense of devil or Satan. Can we say amen?
Amen?
So even though, amen, I want to teach something now. God grant me words. Even though the first Adam, he didn't have sin, but he was not immune to sin. But he still had darkness. But his darkness was not the darkness of sin. What did I say his darkness was? His darkness was the ignorance of light. He was limited in his understanding. So as long as you are limited in your understanding, there is darkness. When you just take away light, there is darkness automatically. Darkness exists as a result of insufficient light. So, like I've said before, in a room you can have both light and darkness. If the light is not compelling enough to drive all the darkness away. So darkness here is not just referring to evil. Can we say amen?
Amen.
It includes it, but I'm looking at it from all sides. Darkness is the absence of full comprehension of light. So in him was life, and the life was the light of men. So knowing fully that you cannot receive all the life in Logos at once. So you receive life as light. And since you can't receive life at once, it means you can't receive light also at once. Can we say amen? So darkness totally disappears when light is full. Thank you. You are following me. Can we all say amen?
Amen.
You now see the reason why we must come into full light. Amen. So in him was life, and the life was the light of men. So the life was the education for men. So like I said, the eternal God condescended to an everlasting plane. So creation is an entity of the everlasting plane. What did I say creation is? So God's first men were everlasting men. There were men that could want interact with the manifestation of the light of Logos in creation. There were men that could interact with the light of Logos in creation. So, and the light shineth in darkness. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Can we say amen?
Yeah.
So, I'm just showing you that men here are the original men that God made. These were not flesh. These are Adams. Can we say amen?
Amen.
They are Adams. They are sons that can interact with the everlasting God. They are sons that can interact with the everlasting God. It was when man fell that God had to condescend further into another region where you can save a fallen man. So men originally were not fallen. They were men that could understand God. What did I say they were?
Yeah.
Or comprehend the light of the everlasting God. They could comprehend him. They could relate with him. They could walk with him. Such were the first types of men that walked on the earth. Even after Adam fell, you see, I had them for a while, for almost another 2,000 years after Adam. You see, I had such men that could relate with the everlasting God or relate with his light. Can we say amen? That's why we are believing that Job was a Genesis man. You know, Moses was an Exodus man. No, Moses was a Genesis man that interfaced into Exodus. So even Moses was not an ordinary man. But after Moses, men fell deeper. So you cannot compare Joshua to Moses in terms of stature. It was as if Moses closed the season. Hallelujah. Yeah. Men that God could talk to face as a man speaks with his friend. Can we say amen? Yeah. They were everlasting men. It was not just only Moses. After Moses, the prophetic Kedar condescended further. So there were prophets, and there were prophets. Moses was in a different kind of prophet. He was a prophet that was a son that could still comprehend the light of the everlasting God. If not, Moses cannot write Genesis. He cannot write Genesis. You need to be an Adam to write Genesis. Can we say amen? Amen. I can't hear your amen. Amen. So you cannot wonder all those men are. Imagine who Abraham was. Because Moses was in a lesser order than Abraham. Their order. That's how it is. Abel, Enoch. Noah. Abraham. Then after Abraham, who? After Abraham, Isaac, no, his sons are in him. Then after Abraham, who again? Moses. That's how Hebrew rendered it. Am I right? They were showing men in their different sonship, stature in everlasting life. Everlasting life of the present earth. Men that could understand God. Amen. Amen. Are you with me? God is restoring this order of men. Amen. I can tell you, even in a better way. So don't settle for less. These men were higher than science. People like Job, look at the level. Have you read the book of Job before? Look at the lines that those men had. The way they were talking. So, Pastor, how did they know the heavens? How did they know the heavens? They knew the ordinance without science. What you call science is a falling knowledge. So it means that man in his original light could understand the heavens. So when you know the everlasting God, you will know creation. You will understand star, moon. There will not be an issue. You understand the heavens. It's everlasting light that anatomizes creation. Everlasting light anatomizes creation. You'll be able to understand you can excrete the present. In fact, you can extray beyond the present, but you can extray the present. You will understand it. That's why those men, Job, look at them. The friends of Job, they were playing with ordinances of the earth. Talking about stars. Can you bind the sweet, influences of Pleiades? We don't even know what Leviathan is. We are just assuming. Some say, probably is a dragon. All those sea dragon. Probably have gone extinct. We don't know. So our current schooling is low. Yes, sir. I'm not saying don't go to school. I'm only telling you that it's low. All these men, they are higher than Newton. Who is Newton around them? All those friends of Job that, if Job even blessed them, They were lesser in Job in understanding. Look at what they were playing with. Look at what Eliu was playing with. All those things were everlasting wisdom of the present. They were everlasting light of the present earth. Because angels have understand everlasting life of the present heaven. So, but when you have the everlasting light of the world to come, you can extract the present earth and heaven conveniently. Can we all say amen?
Amen.
I can't hear you say amen.
Amen.
Now let's go to 1 John. So that which was from the beginning, which we have heard and which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled of the word of life. Verse 2. For life was manifested. So when you see manifestation, you know it's everlasting life. So this is manifested eternal life. What did I say it is? For life was what? Manifested. And we have what? Seen it. And we bear witness and show you that eternal life. So there is a that eternal life. Does that eternal life, is eternal life manifested in and through creation? That eternal life. So it's everlasting. That eternal life, which was what? With the Father and was what? So is, can we say amen?
Amen.
Was the life with the Father? And was manifested unto us. So, it was the old Godhead that condescended. So when they condescended from the eternal Godhead, they condescended into eternal power. So, you know, we have eternal what? Power and Godhead. One is everlasting, the other is eternal. So they moved from eternal God there to eternal power. What did I say they did? So all of them are in everlasting domain. So the fellowship still continued. Can we say amen? So that eternal life that was with the Father and was what? Manifested to us. So I like the way John put it. It means that they were already handling everlasting life. By the time John wrote this epistle, they were handling everlasting life. The word of life, which we have handled. What you have handled, you are professing. It's a profession. So this is it. The purpose of life is to profess life. What did I say is the purpose of life? God is not a... God is a professor of life. God professes life. That's his nature. So the purpose of life is to for living. You need to understand this so that your perception to doctrine changes entirely. And that is the reason why they send light. They send light so that you can have life. What did I say? So you can have light without life because you have not engaged light. Even though what is in light is life. It is light that begats life. So inside light are things of life. But the issue is that you must walk in light to come into life. Oh, house of Jacob, let us walk in the light of the Lord. You may never walk in light. And you will never come into life. That's in Isaiah 2. O house of Jacob, come ye and let us what? Walk in the light. So, just like I can go to school and not learn anything. That does not mean that light was not available. The existence of schooling means there's light. Okay? So I can even attend school and not come out with anything. Many of us have even forgot what we learned. Because we are not professing it. It's easy to forget something you're not practicing. So you can now see. So that which we have seen and what? Heard, declare we unto you. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you. That you may have what? Fellowship with us. You can see. So there are, I want you to see three things, okay? Light, life, love. What did I say?
Light, love.
Okay? So, I use it that way so that you can understand the journey. The journey begins with light. Hallelujah. But I say that you cannot even, light itself does not exist outside life. The only reason why there's light is because life exists somewhere. Can we say amen? So why fellowship? It means that life is originally conscripted amidst a fellowship. Let me tell you, if you understand, every light has its own fellowship. What did I say? Our body. So we have fellowship of physicians, fellowship of engineers. I'm sure lawyers have their own. Town planners have their own. So what is that fellowship? They are the custodians of what? Of the light. That's why they even keep it so much that if you try to associate with them without them approving you, or let me not say associate with them, you try to use their title. Their title is their authorization. Or let me use their title as their seal. Their title is their seal. If you try to use their seal without being identified with their fellowship, they see you as false. Even if you were part of them before, but you did not finish the system that seals you or authenticates you. Maybe you are part of the learning and you were closer to the ceiling or the authentication, and one thing happens and then you were disapproved. That disapproval is that you cannot use their seal. You cannot use their title. So somebody that fell from medical school cannot call himself a doctor. Even if you fell from 600 level. He said, but I know everything. He said, I'm still a doctor. You become a quack. So every institution have their seal. And I noticed that seals are attached to fellowships. There's a body that gives a seal. So look at this verse very well. I just want you to see the design of truth in this epistle. So that which you have seen and heard, declare we unto you. So I like the word we. So it is the light or the life was held by a we. The light is also conceived by what? A we. So you can see that the original desire of the custodians of the life is that a we comes into the fellowship of that life. What did I say? Oh, so that which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you. So John was not speaking outside the fellowship. As a matter of fact, when you enter into bonding with the fellowship, you lose individual identity. You become a spokesman for the fellowship. Your life is taken over by the we. Can we say amen?
Amen.
Oh, you people are not getting this thing. So when one is talking, all is talking. It's not, it's a mysterion. It's a mysterion. It's a mystery. It's a mystery. So John is speaking on behalf of the fellowship. And he says, "Of truly, our fellowship is with the Father and the Son." So he's speaking on behalf of the Father and Son. So we are speaking when John is speaking. Oh, you are not talking to me. So we are speaking. But who is really, really speaking? John. So, the more you get integrated into the fellowship, the more your life becomes what? Taken over by the fellowship. So you don't own your life anymore. Can you now understand what brethren life is? When Peter came, Peter had revelation, went to minister to the Gentile. When he came, his brethren put him, they set panel for him. The brethren said, "Come and defend what you did." Because Peter does not do any, even though as at then, you know, because he had to act outside the permission of his brethren. Remember, they went to meet him in a different place, was praying, an angel appeared to him, he was instructed. Even though an angel appeared to him, or he had a vision rather, and an angel of God appeared to him, he still had to submit to the fellowship. So even personal revelations are submitted. Personal experiences are submitted for the scrutiny of the fellowship. You still have to defend yourself. So after he now did that, the fellowship now approved it and said, "Oh, it was a genuine experience." So I'm showing you the order of life that we are coming into. It's very strange to flesh. Can we say amen?
Yeah.
Very, very strange order of life. When you look at the association of the apostles from Acts chapter 2, to the time the church scattered, it was only Peter that spoke.
Yes.
It was only Peter that spoke. That was the order. The Bible says, and Peter and the 12. How did they put it? Yes, and Peter standing up with the 11. So, lifted up his voice. So, you know, those men were dead men. Actually, they were sealed men. Oh, what did I say they were? As at this time, all of them were sealed with Holy Ghost.
Yes, sir.
They were not ordinary men. Jesus had already breathed into them. Receive the Holy Ghost. That was before Acts. Acts chapter 2. They had received the Holy Ghost. What they received was sealing. Sealing to operate as apostles. In the measure of the name of Jesus Christ. Jesus breathed into them. The Bible says He breathed, and when he had said this, he breathed on them and said, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost." So this was different from Acts chapter 2. So this breath was breath to seal a work that Jesus had done. Are you hearing me?
Yes, sir.
So you can see. So Peter and the 11. And none of them kept quiet. Only one person spoke. Someone was not burning with zeal. And Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, So it was his voice, but it was their voice.
Yes, sir.
So this was the mysterion that Jesus committed the church to. Church committed the project of ecclesia to. They were a mystery. It was a mysterious company, those 12. Jesus raised them and brought them into a fellowship of life. Can we say amen?
Amen.
The word fellowship means that life lived amongst some categories of people. So when life is shared, it's love. When life is shared, it's called love. So love is the demonstration or the sharing of life amidst the fellowship. Love in the context here, the love of the Father and Son is the life shared amidst the Father and the Son, the fellowship of the Father and Son. So if you are in that fellowship, you will also share of that love. Can we all say amen?
Amen.
I can't hear you say amen.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
So, look at that. So that which we have seen, and we what? Declare to you. John kept using we. This is a very fearful thing. I said, God will open our understanding.
Amen.
I know, sir. Even me, I don't even understand this thing fully. John kept using we. We. Look at it. Now, as at the time, technically, the we, he was not referring to any physical person in the sense of, because as at this time, John was writing all the apostles, all of his own class of apostles were not physically alive. As at the time he was writing this epistle was around AD 90 to AD 95, around that time. Paul had gone, all the apostles had gone. Every single of the leading apostles were not alive. So all the people that were alive were his children, far, far, far. You see, he was calling them my little children. The fathers were people that began the faith and Acts chapter 2 and that were still alive. Those were the fathers that had journeyed for years. So technically, all of these people are his sons. Technically, he was the only legacy apostle alive. So I'm saying that we was not, he was not talking to Peter. He was not talking about Peter. He was not talking about James. So who are the we? So that which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship, what? So the intention is that they wanted to bring that old church into what? Their fellowship. Can we say amen?
Amen.
So the end of light is fellowship. So what did I say is the end of light? So it means that how do you judge increase in light? That's the only way. Because if the end is fellowship, it means that journey to the end must be progressive fellowship. So that whole church must be brought into fellowship. That whole church must be brought into fellowship. They had not been fully inducted in the fellowship. What you call induction? They do it for doctors. It is the day they induct you that you enter into the fellowship per se. Am I right? West African College of Fawaks. I don't know what they call it. Can we say amen? So when they induct you, you now enter into the fellowship. So John wanted to induct churches. It was not even one church. It was a church of churches. Because it was a church of fathers. It was a church of young men, it was a church of little children in different stratas. So there were churches. So the plan was that he wanted to induct churches in what? Into the fellowship of the Father and the Son. So this is the highest fellowship in creation. This is the fellowship you must enter into before you go to heaven. Can we all say amen? It's the highest fellowship in creation. So that which you have seen and heard, declare we unto you. These are languages of the fellowship. As at this time, you don't even live for yourself anymore. That ye also may what? May have what? Fellowship with us. So, truly, our fellowship is with what?
The
Father. And what? It's with the Father and His Son, Jesus Christ. Can we say amen?
Yes.
So, these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. Okay? These things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is a message which we have what? Heard of Him. So, that is talking about that eternal life. That Him there is that eternal life. So Jesus Christ, who is the Son of God, is the declarer of the Father's light. We know that the Son of God is come. It's in chapter 5. So the Him that they heard from is the Son. So what is the Son declaring? God. Which is the Father. The Son of God is also the high priest of good things to come. What did I say the Son of God is? You're not talking to me, oh. So we know that the Son of God is come. Look at that. The Son of God is come. And had given us what? An understanding that we know Him that is true. And we are in Him that is true, even in His Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God, comma, and what? So, go back to 1 John chapter 1, verse 5. So this then is the message you have heard of Him. So who is that Him? He's the Son of God. No, he's the Son of God that they heard the message from. It is the Son that will teach the Father. So it's only the Son of God that can declare the Father. Amen. Are you getting it? So this is then the message you have heard of Him. So it's the Son of God that began to open a new economy of the life from the beginning. The life from the beginning. Can we say amen? So this is then the message you have heard of Him. And declare unto you, God is light. And in Him there is no what? Take me to John 1 verse 5. It's the same thing. Ironically, it's not even the same verse. It's the same thing. God is light. It's the same thing as, and the light shineth in darkness. And the light shineth in darkness, and darkness comprehended it not. So in Him was what? Life. And the life was the what? Light of man. So this is the message to creation. This is really the message to creation. Can we say, what did I say? This is it. So this is then the message you have heard of Him and declare unto you. So to even declare this message unto you, you must be Zion. Zion is a company of people that have journeyed from flesh to stone. So if you are flesh, they can't declare this message to you. You must be, have turned from flesh to spirit, or you are stone. You are no longer a reed shaken by the wind. You have become a stone church. It takes a stone church for them to declare the message to. Can we say amen?
Amen.
I can't hear you say amen.
Amen.
Take me to that, Peter. You are right. Let's look at all scripture. I said, this is your season of understanding.
Yeah.
Nobody should leave this season and say, I do understand. I mean. To whom coming as unto a living stone. So living stone is appearing to lively stone. They are not the same thing. Can we say amen? Start from verse 1, 2 Peter chapter 2. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and all hypocrisies and all envies and all want. So these are things that Lively Stones Church must lay aside. These are still sins of the sanctuary. They are all sins of the sanctuary. All these things you are seeing, they are sanctuary sins. What did I say they are? What I mean sins, when you are transiting from the holy place, there are things that you must have lay aside fully. Now, I need to let you know that it is the Father that administers the operations in the holy place also. That's why when Paul wanted to move the church from milk to Christ, he prayed to the Father of glory. So even the activity in the tabernacle is the Father that is the supervisor via the seven spirits. So nobody can enter into the courts without the Father's permission. Hey, what did I say? Ephesians chapter 1. Having end of your faith in the Lord Jesus. And what? Your love, what? Love for us, it seeks not to what? Give thanks for you, making mention of you where? That who? Of our Lord Jesus Christ. So he talked about two of them. This is the living and true God. The God of our Lord Jesus Christ is the true God. The Father of glory is the living Father. This is the living and true God. So he has to appeal to all sides of the everlasting God for them to come into the sanctuary. Can we say amen?
Amen.
I can't hear you say amen.
Amen.
It's even into the courts. It's not even to the sanctuary. It's to the courts because they were transiting from milk to Christ. And Christ begins from the outer courts. That's if you are using the tabernacle. Amen. So I've already lost some people and I don't like it. Amen. I think some people don't take these things serious. If these things are not part of your life, you can't stroll into this assembly and you're not a serious person. I'm telling you, you would be doing yourself. So I sense that some of us, we don't prepare before we come. Even my wife reads her notes before she comes to a meeting. Mommy, she goes through her notes. Every morning, she goes through her notes, listens to tape, reads transcripts. So if she can be like that, nobody must have an excuse. I say some people are pulling me back. Because you are not, I don't know what you are using your life to do. Yes, I just felt that rebuke for my spirit that you are still dull of hearing. You shouldn't be dull of hearing by this time. I am telling you. You know that we are continuing from last year. Are you aware? So if you did not follow us last year, sir, and you did not journey well this year, you'll be lost. Hallelujah. So, the Father of glory, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ. So the Father there is the Lord Almighty. The God there is the true God. The Lord Almighty is also the living God. So those you can see. So it is the Father and God of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Father, the God of our Lord Jesus, the Father of glory. When you see comma, it is just to is to qualify that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, comma, the Father of glory, comma. So it's the same person, but in what? In manifestation. So the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, that's the true God. The Father of glory is the living God. Can we say amen?
Amen.
I hope you are getting this. So it is the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ that administers any soul that enters the tabernacle. So you cannot enter, now of course you know it's the outer court in the tabernacle, but it's the inner court in the temple. So you can see, he is the one that supervises entrance or coming. What did I say he supervises? Because this is coming to worship. You need to appeal to him. He is the caller of commerce. What did I say? He is? The Father desires such. John 4. The Father desires true worshippers. So who are true worshippers? Those that are worshipping in the most holy. But you cannot reach that place without starting from the outer court. The outer court is the inner court in the temple. Now the our comment and now is when true worshippers, true, if it's true, it means it's in a true tabernacle. That's the most holy. That's the purpose of the true tabernacle, is to make you true. So you can be worshipping, but you are not yet a true worshipper. So if you are any journey through the course is worship. What did I say? So, worship begins, Pastor CG, when you begin at the outer court. When you start, service starts. When you enter, so there are courts of service. But service becomes true in the true tabernacle. So, where did I want to bring those churches into? Into true worship. So, you see, so all those churches were already worshiping. Amen.
Amen.
What did I say those churches were doing? They were already worshippers. So, but they want to upgrade their worship. And bring them into what? True worship. To perfect their worship. So, to perfect their worship is to seal their worship. To seal their worship is to administer the Father's name, which is a sign that they can now worship him in spirit and in truth. Look at that. The Father, for the hour has come and now is when the Father, when true worshippers shall worship the Father in what? Can I see that spirit is smallest? Can we say amen?
Amen?
And in truth. Thank you, Lord Jesus. So you need these two things for worship to be complete. You need spirit and in truth. What did I say you need? Actually, it is two, but it's also three. It is spirit, word, water and blood. It's those three that you need for worship. For what, or the cycle of worship to be completed. It is spirit, water, and blood. There are three that bear witness in the earth. That earth means worship in creation. Because verse 7 says there are three that bear record in heaven. The Father, the Word, and the Spirit. He didn't say the Father and the Son. He used the Word deliberately. So that is talking about the eternal. Everlasting life is like an earth to eternal life. Amen.
Amen.
What did I say everlasting life is?
Amen.
So if I said there are three that bear what? Record in heaven. the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. Then the next thing he said, because the purpose of record in heaven is to bear witness where? On earth. Huh? So, he says, and there are three that bear witness in earth. So it's not just even talking about in, he's talking about in men.
Yes, sir.
Everlasting men. So the earth of God is everlasting life. The earth of the eternal God is everlasting life. If eternal God is going to come into the, his earth is everlasting life. And there are three that bear witness in earth. Can we say amen?
Amen.
Heaven is my throne. Earth is my footstool. So the place, when the everlasting God is coming out of his heaven, the earth will first land in is everlasting life. Or that earth means manifestation or appearance. It's appearing into visibility. So where it's coming first to? It's everlasting life. So everlasting life is the earth of eternal life. Amen. I hope I'm not confusing you. So there are three that bear witness. So for worship to be complete in earth, you need those three things. Spirit, water, and blood. So water and blood is truth. So truth is twin. Truth is not complete with water only. It has to be water and what? Blood. So the Father seeketh such to worship him. So this is the true God. So if you want to worship the true God completely, you'll have his seal. I like the word. So those that have his seal are the true worshippers. What did I say? What did I say? So to worship him, you must have a seal to be a true worshiper of God, which is the true God. So God is a spirit. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So worship begins at the first court. Worship is perfected at the last court. So you can see, it's the Father of glory, is the God of our Lord Jesus Christ that administers seven spirits. So seven spirits, they have their activity in the courts. So both the sanctuary and the outer courts, there is an activity that goes on there. Can we say amen?
Amen.
Let me use the word. It's better you use the temple.
Yes, sir.
Because the temple is a better... Yes. Can we all say amen?
Amen?
Because in the temple, you have an outer court. In fact, you have outer courts. They call them courts of the Gentiles. Then you now have inner courts. Then you have the sanctuary. Then you have the most holy. So the courts, it is a journey of worship. Can we say amen?
Amen.
I can't hear you say amen.
Amen.
Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
So let's go back to John. No, not First John. I don't want to lose a thought that. So look at that. So this is then the message you have heard of him and declare unto you. So the you there, I believe that there are people there. In that church, they are journeying beyond the stone formation of Zion. which 1 Peter described in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. So wherefore, laying aside all malice, all guile, and all hypocrisies and envies, and all evil speakings. Now, the veil that parts the holy place and the most holy is actually the Father. So the Father, the altar of incense, is the beginning of fatherhood. What did I say? So it is the father faces when you get to the end of the holy place, who you stand before is the Father. It's the face of the Father that faces the holy place. And there's a face of the Father that begins the most holy. So it is the Father. So just look at my palm here. So let's say this is the holy place. This is the most holy. It is the Father that faces this place. It is the Father that begins this place. So this Father that faces this place is the Father that refines. Malachi chapter 3 is the one that sits as a refiner's fire. His purpose is to bring people here. Are we here? Now, the interesting thing is that you cannot even... Amen. You cannot be brought into the most holy without the Father. So, you begin everlasting life even before the veil. I don't know how I can describe it. You know, it's not like you get to the veil. No, it is the Father. So, by the time you are perfecting the season of Christ, you are also moving into the season of everlasting light. So the Father will now begin you immediately with his milk. Can we say amen? Amen. He will begin you with his milk. Because by the time you look at 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22, you're already purified. But you now need fervent charity. That fervent charity is of the Father. It's for you to journey through the veil. It's almost like it's an excited form. For you to into the veil, you need an energy that the Father gives. So the Father will energize sons of the sanctuary. Can we say amen?
Amen.
For them to leap into the true tabernacle. Can we say amen?
Amen?
Let me repeat that again. So the Father will energize. So the Father's light begins as milk. Can we say amen?
Amen.
Seeing that you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto the unfeigned love of the brethren. See then that you love one another with what? So all of them, you must have pure heart. Pure heart means you have been purified. With a pure heart fervently. You will love with pure heart, then you know, it's as if they just moved into fervent love. But before you even begin to use pure heart, you'll be loving. They say, what they actually mean is that use pure heart to love. Then use pure heart to now love what? Fervently. So being born again. So it is the Father's light that creates the season of that birth. Can we say amen?
Amen.
I can't hear you say amen.
Amen.
So the reason I'm saying that so that you can understand that you need the Father's light also for a transition from the sanctuary into the most holy. In fact, it's the Father that selects those that will go. He's the one that will select those that will move into the most holy. He will select them. He will sit as a refiner's fire. Or let me use it in a better way. It is the high priest using the Father's light. Can we say amen?
Amen.
I can't hear you say amen.
Amen.
Now, the high priest can minister as a priest in the sanctuary. The high priest can also minister as an high priest in the sanctuary. So, there is a ministration that is priestly in the sanctuary. That's Christ's ministration. Can we say amen?
Amen.
But after you have been separated by the light of Christ, then the high priest will now begin with a higher light. Can we say amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
To now begin the activity. So the activity starts at the veil. That's what I'm saying. The most holy light starts at the veil. It begins there. I'm going to use that 1 Peter chapter 2 to describe it very well. Can we say amen?
Amen.
That's why I believe that the Father's light is coming right now. It means that there are already some songs of the sanctuary that are ready for everlasting life. Yes. The light does not come if there are not those ready for it. So as at around 5 years ago, when we began this teaching, we already have sanctuary songs. Those that are ready to journey beyond the veil, they don't just talk. Eh? So the high priest has been coming since then. Oh, nobody's answering me. Amen. Do you believe that? You think we're just playing? We're not playing, no. Many have not yet moved, but some have moved. Some have moved in their comprehension of God. Some are the early forms of the Most Holy. The beginning. And some probably have even joined Father in the Father's land. Because you will journey a little bit in the Father's land before you get your plot. Then after you get your plot, then you now start building your house. But there's the first arriving in the land. Can we say amen?
Amen.
I can't hear you say amen.
Amen.
It's good to know because maybe some people think that we are playing. We are not playing, no. There's no play. There's reality. Uh-huh. I can't deny things that God has done in me because I'm trying to be humble. I know what God has done. I know some things that heaven has helped me to know concerning life. I'm believing God. I know I still have a long journey, but I know things God has done. I know it. I cannot deny that. So that's why I said that. Some have. Can we all say amen?
Amen.
I'll just teach. Hallelujah. So wherefore, laying aside all malice. So they are talking to lively stones. Who are they talking to? Lay aside all malice, all guile, all what? So amen. You have to lay aside all. You may have laid aside some, because now the living light is coming. So they are telling you that you have to lay aside. Can we say amen?
Amen.
You know, at times when you see King James, you know, now what as new babes desire the sincere milk. Actually, what did he say? As new babes, you're already drinking the milk.
Yeah.
Can we say amen?
Amen?
No, you should desire it. But once you're a babe, yeah, so you have already started it. So it is actually that milk that empowers you to lay down all.
Amen.
It's the Father's light. But it's His Father's light at milk form. Can we say amen?
Amen.
So you can be a Zionite and you have not laid down all. So some of us, we have made some progress, but we have not laid down all malice. You have laid down some malice. You are spiritual, but you still have some malice, some guile, some hypocrisy. Love is not totally without dissimulation. And then you still have some envies. Some. In fact, some of those envies, they may be higher envies. They must not be envy because these are spiritual people. So the people don't, they don't envy car. They don't envy, aha, thank you. It may be envy in the order of spiritual things. But it's still envy. So some have crossed the, maybe you are envying your sister because she wants to marry. You are still flesh. If that's the, you are still flesh. But a time will come when that is not your envy. You may start envying rank. Maybe you envy the rank of your brother.
Yes, sir.
You see, so those are envies of spiritual men.
Yes, sir. Thank you, sir.
Or you envy someone that has understanding more.
Yeah.
More than you. You have understanding, no? You have understanding, but somebody has it more. So you envy. So that's where the envy is. It's still envy. The high priest sees it as envy. So he has to what? He has to purge. Because there must be non-crossing. None of those things must be there. That is me. That's how I see it. You know, I don't know all things. But I think it's the father's milk. The father's milk is the transition from Christ to everlasting life. The father's milk is actually everlasting life. But it's transition. So you enter into the father's meal through his milk. Can we all say amen?
Amen.
So if I laying aside all my list, as you born babes, is that the sincere milk of the word that you may agree? If so, you have tasted that the Lord is good. So you have tasted. It's a tasting. They call it taste. It's not like you are not feeding. I like the word taste. The purpose of taste is so that you take more. So it is to these babes that to whom coming as unto want. A living. This is not lively. Living. This is the living God. This is now the living God. Can we say amen?
Amen.
Or the Father. So to whom coming as unto this disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and what?
Precious.
Ye also as lively stones. So all the commandment in 1 Peter chapter 2 is to secure you as a full lively stones. So you have lively stones. Then you have a full lively stones. A full lively stones is a church where all none of those things are existent at all. So I remember that was the word the Lord gave me this year. The Lord says that become a full lively stones church. Can we say amen?
Amen.
So the Lord does not want to see all those things in our midst. That's what it means. And malice, envy. Look at that. Look at that. I'm not even talking about works of the flesh now. We should journey beyond what you are still fornicating. No. What you want to do is to sleep with a sister. You are far from what I'm talking about. That is not what I'm talking about. We must come to a point where that one is not seen at all.
Amen.
That we have washed, that is dealing with the flesh. When you take word enough, it's not like you'll not be tempted, but you have more power to put it under.
Yes, sir.
So even when the thought comes, it is, when you see the thought, you just arrest it. You disarm it easily. You think that they don't interface some of those thoughts to us, they do. But you just get it because you have sufficient power. So you get it and I love my sister. I don't sleep with my sister. That's all. You take a power. Understand? You disarm the thoughts. The reason why you are still captivated by love is that you are weak. You are weaker than the temptation. So what they need to do is to strengthen you. First, with what? Understanding. You see through it. So at times, a thought will come to you, but it cannot pollute you. Because you have a stronger armor. So you just handle it, you just laugh and you just shield it up. Boom. That's how you shield up. You know the way wiper, when rain is falling, poop, poop, poop. So there are some thoughts that will fall on your screen, your wiper will just clean it off. Clean off. Lost, clean off. So when you see a lady, the first impression you think is not to sleep with her. Now the thought can come to you. But your wiper is stronger.
Amen.
So when they come, boom, and you just see The Lord can even empower you. Just see the beauty of God in it, the person. So they have done a lot of work of purification of the heart. The heart is now pure. A pure heart thinks pure things. Amen. So even when impure thoughts come, they don't land. Now, how you know that something is your thought or is the devil's thought is, does he land? So a thought can come from external. It does not rest on you because you have sufficient antivirus to disarm it. But if it lands and now begins to now play out, this is the purpose of a thought. When they throw a thought to you, they want the thought to land and move from a thought to a meditation. What did I say? God is helping us. What did I say? What is a meditation? What you are pondering on. So, the thing is a thought, but I can take it off. The thought to do evil to a brother can come and I'll put it off. No. My law will constrain me. So I will not do it. But when the thing goes beyond thought and I begins to meditate upon it, it begins to distill from light to life. It just needs my engaging. It begins to distill. Then it can now go beyond thought to attitude. I'm showing you how at times we carry out things. Can we all say amen? Yes. So at times, God will show you mercy before the thing becomes your life fully. A message will come to interact it, to intercept it, so that it does not become settled fully as a practice for you. That's why it's always good to be in a very good word environment. Because when you're in good word environment, the word of God is just, it's like missile. It's moving, pum, 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 as the word is going, pum, pum, spirits. And the Holy Ghost knows. So that's why at times Holy Ghost will stand on a minister and be releasing word at several levels. It's like guided missile. They are factoring sins. Or some of those things that are activity of sin in the heart of people. So at times when those words are going on, they are just disarming them. So when you hit the word, you are readjusted. You can now receive strength. And break the cycle or the chain of a thought that wants to act itself fully as sin. So when you are struggling with a thought, for instance, a thought of fornication, when you expose yourself to so much light, it will disarm it. If you are sincere, if you are sincere enough, you can just go to the place of light. And keep strengthening yourself. Can we say amen? Amen? Don't yield to that. Open up to people that can help you. If you conceive darkness, darkness gets stronger. That's why some of us don't mind. When you're not accountable, you're not wise. So, but when you open it up, the thing weakens. Then you can now receive strength to begin to what? Receive a non-spiritual strength to wrestle it and then subdue it. A season can come where what you are doing is wrestling. Another season when it comes, what you are doing is that you have disempowered it. Can we say amen? I said the Lord is strengthening you. So nobody should give up to defeat. Don't give up to defeat. And don't strengthen a nature that God wants to deal with. If you have problem with impure thoughts, you should not go around some things that can further strengthen it. Because some of us are really not wise. We play with things that we should not be playing with. You know yourself. You know what triggers you. Run away from it. If you are triggered, some of us, we are easily triggered when we see certain sins. Don't be going around social media. You don't need social media in your life. Reduce your social media. Can we say amen? You need spirit media. That's what you need in your life. Social media, look great every day, sir. Just, you should know some of those things. So, we even need wisdom to know what to interact with per time. Amen. The purpose of light is for you to see, you must hate sin. You see, if you have not hated a sin, you can't break away from it. So why light comes? Well, you see the thing, how ugly it is. Yeah? The only reason why you are tempted to fornicate is because you have not hated it. You have not seen what it is. Can you sleep with a woman that has HIV? Hello? The thing is catching you. Pastor, I can't help myself. As I am now, I feel like fornicating. So, an HIV person appears before. In fact, you wanted to sleep with the person until the person said, I want to break a news to you. As I have HIV. So that's why you know that lust is a force. Just the knowledge of I have HIV, that thing, listen, that force that is holding you, that is like you cannot think, all of a sudden it begins to weaken. Can we say amen? Well, nobody's saying amen. Just one knowledge, just disarm it. So, but God wants to give you something beyond that. You will see the spirit, what it is. You see, the spirit behind fornication is very ugly. If you see the spirit, you will not do it in your life. The day you see the demon that is behind fornication, if you see that spirit, one day, you can't continue in it. You will zip up your trouser. They are so hideous, so smelling. They are. Think about the most ugly being on the earth. They are not as ugly as those spirits. They are terribly ugly. If you see them, you will. But you don't, they don't. The day you see them is the day you are free. Yes, hallelujah.
Amen.
I can't hear you say
amen.
It's the same thing with all those things. Bitterness, unforgiveness. It's the same thing. When you see the operation behind it, you will see it. You will not fall away. You will not fall again into their prey. You can understand. So that's why light is very crucial. Light is actually deliverance. What did I say light is? Sometimes I look at the times that God has given me light concerning something. I just look at the things I used to do before. I just laugh. I'm laughing at myself, but I'm free. It's a laughter. It's a joyous laughter. I'll just be laughing with myself. So this thing helped me bounce some years ago. I can see through it. Just following light and green. Just sit. This thing was very dirty. So to one coming as unto a live living stone. So it's coming. The living stone is coming to lively stones. Can we say amen?
Amen.
I like the way King James, you know, some other translations will put it as the same thing. But I like the way it is. You know. So they are lively stones. They have become a spiritual house. So to become a full spiritual house, all those sins of the sanctuary must be dealt with. A full spiritual house. So you cannot even become a full spiritual house without the Father's light. The milk of the Father is like the beginning of his light. Can we say amen? It's to complete the spiritual house formation. The way the Lord taught me is that they said those seasons intersect into one another. So the Father's season intersects into the sanctuary. That is why his face faces this place, you can see. This is the Father facing the sanctuary. The Father is also facing the true tabernacle. So ye also as lively stones have built up a spiritual house. And only priesthood to what? To offer what? Spiritual sacrifices. Accepted to God by what? By Christ Jesus. Jesus Christ. Can we all say amen?
Amen.
I can't hear you say amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So this then is the message we have heard of him and declare unto you that God is light. What did I say?
God is light.
Aha, uh-huh. So this is it's actually the life that they want to give them. They want to give them everlasting life. But everlasting life must be communicated through light. Understanding. So light there is the understanding of the Father. Uh-huh. So the Son of God is coming to give understanding. He is the one that begins to give understanding. The entrance of your word giveth what? And understanding. The entrance of what? Thank you. Thank you, Pastor. That's what I wanted to say. The entrance of their word giveth what? It giveth what? So when the word begins to give understanding, it's giving life. Give me understanding, I shall live. So what is understanding? It is light plus walk. You come into understanding by yielding to light. You must engage light. If light comes and it does not make contact with faith, there is no understanding. Can we say amen?
Amen.
That's Hebrews chapter 4, verse 1. That's why they were dealing with unbelief in the Hebrew church, because they were losing faith. Look at that. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. But the word preached did not want profit them. So light will not profit you. When you don't what? It does not mix with faith. So word plus faith, that word is light. It is light plus faith that equals life. The word must mix with faith. And that's always our problem. Satan assaults the heart. So a lot of people can hear and they don't believe. Somebody can be hearing this one and they still believe God tower. Pastor, everlasting light. And honestly, I won't lie to you. It's just that we don't see our hearts. But somebody inside, that is his understanding. That kind of person needs sufficient, consistent light to break that stronghold. Can we say amen?
Amen.
You live in your understanding. Your understanding is an habitation. That's why it's not easy to take it away. To break away understanding is to demolish your house. It is what you lean on. What you lean on is a strength. So your understanding is a strength that you lean on. So you need to demolish somebody's understanding. Is to demolish the way where he hides, where he lives, where you are confident in. Any small thing, you enter your understanding. Any small pleasure. It's just like the shell of a snail. That is the understanding of the snail. Anytime there's pleasure, just enter your understanding. So for instance, when you want to live life of the brethren and you get, listen, are you with me?
Yes, sir.
And you get opposition, you enter into your understanding. What is your understanding? No grief for anybody. That's your understanding. So, but you want to really live brethren life. But you will face opposition because Satan is not going to make it easy. If you're going to walk in the life, you have to consistently believe against your understanding. Now, anytime you face opposition, do you always know that it is your understanding that is, your understanding is wanting to call you back? Come back. Kosai, kosalombe. You have believed God. You have believed what daddy is saying. I believe God. I want to walk in this understanding. So when you begin to walk, you face opposition. And you say, I believe. And you want to leave. You say, Wipua! Then your understanding begins to call you. Olagbeni. Man of God. Spiritual son. Shebi most often, and this understanding is not for you. Ma bole. Come to your house. What is your house? Your own understanding. Trust in the Lord with all your, and lean not on your understanding. So your understanding is what you trust in. What you lean on is what you what? Trust in. Is your house where you live. Sometimes, when there's preaching going on, people are living in their understanding. Pastor is just talking. Everlasting life! People are in their understanding. And some are just peeping, Chetty Soroton. They enter their understanding back. Have you finished? So somebody can even come to church with what? His understanding. His understanding is his hammer. So on your understanding at times can even be deflecting message. It's like a force field. Take me to Hebrews 3. That's why it says, today if you hear his voice. What do you think makes people harden their hearts? It's their understanding. Somebody can be in this church and say, hallelujah. Thank God, I'm in a new level right now. All these things people are teaching, I'm in it. I'm it already, hallelujah. Oh, you are talking Father's love. I'm in the Father's love. Yes, understanding. So, you can, let me just come and fellowship with you. Let me build your order. I condescend to your level. And that thing is real to the person. Very real. It's very real. That understanding is real to him. So an understanding can be a delusion. A delusional. Completely. So wherefore, as the Holy Ghost said, today, if you hear his voice, adding what? You are not responding to me. Oh. Now, what is adding your heart? You know the voice, but you don't like it. So your understanding can tell you that don't listen to that voice. No grief for anybody. No grief for anybody. That is your understanding. Your understanding will keep teaching you to harden yourself. So your understanding can fortify you against the voice of the Son of God. This voice is the voice of the Son of God that has come. Your understanding can train the heart and harden it. What does it mean to harden it? This is a negative stone. Because the Son of God speaks to stones. But there is a stone that is against stone. This is a negative stone that is. It is hardened against. Lively stones are stones that respond to the Son of God. So this one is unbelief stones. They are hardened against the voice of the Son of God. This is the worst enemy of Zion. What did I say it is? This is the enemy. Let me tell you why it's worse. You see, it is not a sin outside the Zion company. It is those that are here in understanding that this enemy works with very well. It's very around them, very much around them. It teaches them how not to respond. Don't respond. That's the only way it can immune you to the voice. Because you regularly interface the voice. But you can also regularly add in your heart against it. So somebody can be coming for 5 years. Yes. And it's stronger than the voice. So if it's so in an atmosphere where people are changing, some people will be hardened. You'll not be wondering, that, God, what is happening? You understand? Some people are changing, they're becoming better. Some people are now hardened. It is this. Is this oppression? It's unbelief. Actually, you know, unbelief is actually sin nature. That the enemy, what? The enemy cultures inside you. I don't know how I find myself in Hebrews. Can we say amen?
Amen.
Your amen is standing on one leg.
Amen.
So wherefore, as the Holy Ghost said, today if you hear his voice, harden not your heart, as in the day, what? As in the provocation, in the day of temptation, in the wilderness. So, there were wilderness church crossing into the land of promise. So most, he was referring to the church in the wilderness. Okay? Now look at verse 9. When your fathers tempted me, proved me and saw my works 40 years, wherefore I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always what? In what? And they have not known my ways. They have still not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath that they will not enter my rest. Take it, brethren, lest there be what? In any of you. And what? In departing from? So, in departing from the veil. So, they were already before the veil. So, they want to now start going back like this. So, the heart is being hardened against it. So, these are not, this is a company of Christ. You start loading the meal. In departing from the living God. So these guys didn't want to go on anymore. They were already tired. They started, it happens to me, number one, you start disdaining the ministers. It begins like that because they carry the word. You don't, when you start losing value for ministers, it's not because of anything. You are losing value for what they carry. It's the truth. The only reason why you honor Pastor Friday is because you honor the word. The day you lose respect for the word, that honor goes to the trash can immediately. The honor goes into the trash can immediately. Once you lose honor and value for what he carries, that is the end. It becomes like any other person to you. That's what Paul was telling them in Hebrews 10. He said before they could remove their eyes. And they allowed their goods to be spoiled. That was in Galatians. In Hebrew, he said they could allow their worldly goods to be spoiled. But later on, Satan actually assaulted their heart with unbelief. It was actually fear. It was a kind of fear. Satan told them that they will perish. So I can tell you that if you continue in this path, you will son on the everlasting life. Actually, at times, what the enemy does is that he raises challenges along the way that makes people afraid.
Yes.
Maybe, God forbid, you know, the time we lose Eben, some people lost faith. Yes. Hey! So, you know, a little pube here. Satan can't. If Satan can even allow people to have visions and all that time, they start dreaming that people are going to die. They say, Pastor, I had a dream that some other people died. So if you want to join in this part, you will close your eyes to many things. That is one thing that we don't take. You know, we like baby dedication. We can't handle losing people. That is where some people's hearts will fail. It happened to the Thessalonian church. So Paul had to keep encouraging them that Eben is in heaven. Even though he died he was not even like a martyr's death. He was shot. But he's in heaven. So some people's faith, that's where it ends. And it's fear for life. Now, why are they afraid? Number one, they are not sure that God can protect me. Some people, when anything bad happens to them, they're angry against the ministers. It's not against the minister, it's against God. What you are saying is that, God, you can't protect me. So what's the use of everlasting life? When you cannot protect me, why am I losing things? Meanwhile, it's what you call trial of faith. Trial of faith comes in many areas. As an assembly, it comes in many areas. Trial of faith, at times we go through things that, like we are believing God for something. And the thing does not answer faith. We are supposed to bear with it. So if you don't understand that, you get offended. Most times it's even offense. So the Hebrew church were going through trial of faith based on contradictions they were going through and that they were tired of. So Yoruba sọ pe ti waju ba se lo. But pada saying is actually perdition. You can't go back. You can't be the normal person. You don't understand. You cannot have listened to so much of word like this. You now say, I'm going back.
So where do you want to go? You can't go back because you have come. It is a walk that brought you where you are. The only people that can become normal people comfortably are people that never really journeyed. Physically, they never journeyed. So they can easily blend maybe with a normal church out there and will not feel like they have lost anything. It means that their eyes were not opened. That was actually mercy for them. So even though they were part of the walk, but their eyes were never really, really opened. So they left. It wasn't even that they were offended. They left because they could not understand. So God just looks for a normal church for them. And they will blend normally without no problem. So they will not even feel like they are missing anything. Until maybe in the future, God can show them mercy again and bring the same light across their way. But there are some that grew, came into understanding. They now want to go back again. So when you even try, you try to sit down in a normal church, you find out that you are not connected. You can't connect. You know more than the pastor. That's why most people that don't do well in this kind of churches, they can't go into any church. They likely don't go, they will still stay in that church. Their body is there, but their soul is wandering. Their soul is wandering. You will not be able to go anywhere. Where will you go? I hope I'm not making you afraid. It's even good to you for you to be afraid, self. Because some people don't know that this kind of reality exists. So you just hang. Some people just hang. So add it not your hand, okay? That's why that mommy's message last week Tuesday is salvation. Because your heart must be right. The most catastrophic thing that can happen to you is if Satan tampers with your heart's posture towards the word. When the word no longer matters to you, when you no longer tremble at the word, then you are done with. So take it, brethren, lest there be an evil out of number in departing from the living God, okay? Let me just read. But exhort one another daily. You can see it's a daily thing. While it is called today. Today. So this transition ceasing. They are talking to lively stones. Today. To. You can see that they didn't put it together. Today. They are in transition. Lest any of you be what? Adding through the what? So you can see, adding not your heart. So what adding the heart is actually deceitfulness of sin nature. This, you know, just toughens the heart. So the heart is, the word is not mixing with faith. Because the heart is hardened. So, you know, the natural response to the word by the heart is faith. When the word is going on and the natural response of that, the heart connects in faith. So when the heart is not connecting in faith, something is wrong with the heart. You know that? Sometimes some people you can even know, even from their facial expression. Maybe before, when the word is going, you are so excited. Your heart is igniting the word. If they assault the heart, it can even show on your physical demeanor. A soul can be uninterested. Me, as a pastor, you know. Because you know that this person was not like this before. As some people, they even change seats from front to back. I'm telling you, you don't. Hey. Now, it's not like a front and back is anything, but for that person, it was a priority to be in the front. So maybe the person went through one challenge and all that, lost interest in the world. The person just dropped back. So after it, drawing back can even affect, can be physical. So, you know, everybody wants to honor, you know, some people will prefer to stay in the tents. They all start coming late to meetings. Thank you. Why do you think Paul says that do not forsake? Like what? Like some. Some of them already won't wash your shima. Like the man of salt. If maybe years before they were not like that. Now, how do I know that there something is failing? Have they entered into the Father's rest? They have not. So it means that something has happened. They went weary. So some people in Hebrew church, they were ready for second assembly. Meeting times began to reduce for no reason. Not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together. Remember, he said we should exhort each other. Ah, what? Damn it, man. But exhorting one another, and so much the more as the day approaches. This is the attitude to know that the heart is still connecting with the word. It's still panting. So at times, you know, you lose interest in meetings. Meeting is nothing to you anymore. Some people, why they are coming to meetings, it's not for the word. It's for maybe some people, it's business. It's something, it's maybe they have a need with the brethren. So it may be something else. I'm telling you, only God. I say, God will expose our hearts. Amen. It's good though. It's good for you, for God to expose your heart though. I'm telling you, some people may be coming just for, let me just stick around. There's really nowhere to go. All my friends are in church. And I'm not ready to make new friends. So let me still tag along. Then you have mastered how to stay, but you are not around. You have mastered it. I mean, I even think that it's more dangerous. At times, it's even better to physically go. But you know, the more you stay, the more ardent you have to be to cope in that environment. Oh, you are not getting what I'm saying? You have to toughen yourself. You have to keep toughening yourself. So when you toughen yourself, it means you have hardened your soul. So you have lost, you have despised the word. But you can still be here. So it says, for we are made partakers of Christ. If you hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto what? The end. You can see. It's to the end. So when the word does not mix with faith, it does not produce understanding. So even though you have the word, so you can have light. If light does not mix with faith, it does not produce what? Understanding. Can we say amen? God wants light to become life. It is when you come into life that your sins are being remitted. It is in the place of life that sins are remitted. It's when understanding begins to generate life that sins are remitted. So you have to stay with the word. You have to stay with the doctrine. It is as you stay that you enjoy remission. Can we begin to talk to the Lord? I'll continue tomorrow. Let us begin to talk to Him. The Lord has spoken to us tonight. Let's talk to Him. Stand to your feet and begin to talk to the Lord tonight. Let's talk to Him. Lift up your hands and let's receive supply of the Spirit. Can you pray for your heart tonight? The Lord is doing a heart x-ray and a heart surgery. Can you pray for your heart tonight that the Lord will circumcise your heart again and make that heart alive to His word? That our heart will begin to respond to light in a greater measure. That our heart will respond to light in a greater measure. A rebellion from Popokora Makani Preniso Sovenisa Bada Nikta Bada Nosta. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Can you receive grace right now? Receive grace upon your heart. Say, my heart will not fail. 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 My faith will grow stronger and stronger.
We hope you have been blessed through these words of life. You can get more messages on our website, www.thecitygatechurch.org. Stay blessed.